Okay. Rick, would you mind praying for us this morning, please, sir?
Our loving and generous Father, we thank you for time to be together this morning. Father, such an encouragement to fellow believers and brothers that put all their hope and trust in you and your Son. And Father, we thank you for each person that's here this morning. Father, we thank you especially for Wayne coming our way, and pray that you will raise up a mentor for him. Father, we pray that you'd be with those that have needs, especially physically. Pray that you'll give them the help that they need. We especially pray for Lorraine. Pray that she'll make a full recovery and be back to doing what she would like to do. And Father, as we open your word, as we spend intimate time with you this morning, we pray that you'll draw our hearts closer to you. Cause us to be in love with you, Father, every day. And Father, we pray that that love that you fill us up with will spill over. And everyone that we come in contact with today, they will see you living in us, and they'll see something attractive that you, Father, brings glory to you that will draw them to you. Father, we thank you for Toby and for Brother Henneke just leading us, and pray that you'll guide Toby's thoughts this morning. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to live this day for you. It's through Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. I need some readers for me this morning. I was just telling a while ago, when I get started with this, I don't know how long we're going to go. It may be 15 minutes, it may be 25 minutes, it may won't be an hour. So I got a timekeeper over here to help me. Somebody go for me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Anybody bring an Old Testament with them? Yeah, okay. That's good. Good. I need somebody to go to Matthew chapter 22. Oh, by the way, Tom, it's 4 through 4 and 5. I need somebody to go to Matthew chapter 22.
I can.
22, okay. Go to 37 through 39. And I need somebody to go to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, okay. Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 34. And somebody go to Luke. Somebody got Luke? Luke, okay. Luke chapter 10. Verses 25 through about 29, maybe 28, 28 maybe, yeah. I've probably told you this before, and by the way, guys, that you're new here, come back to hear Dr. Henneke, then you'll know why we have this meeting. I miss him when he's not here. I think I've probably told you this before, and I may tell you again. When I was teaching back a few years ago, it's been longer than what I'd like to think now, I retired in 1997, but I taught history and political science, and nearly every year, near the first part of the semester or term, I would say to my classes, now you need to know where I'm coming from. You need to know that I believe that whatever you believe about God is going to affect every other belief you have in your life. I would do that in both my history and political science classes. And one morning, a nice, strapping young man, sharp guy, raised his hand. I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Dr. Williams, I don't agree with your premise." I said, "Beg your pardon?" He said, "I don't agree with your premise." I said, "What's your problem?" Well, he said, I don't believe in God. I said, "That don't affect my premise. Because I'm going to tell you right now, just because you don't believe in God doesn't change my premise. It's going to affect every other decision and every other belief you have in your life." After the class was over with, I said to him, "Do you mind explaining something to me? Are you a proclaimed atheist yet?" He said, "Well, I think so." I said, "Why are you coming to a Christian college to be educated?" He said, "That's a good question. I was sent here."
First one.
Oh, I said, "Okay. Well, good." I'd just like to tell you, I can report to you, 3 years later, I knelt with him in an altar prayer down in front of that chapel. And watched him give his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In his senior year, he came to me. He had one other class to take from me. And when I made that statement, it was in a political science class, he raised his hand and I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Could I make another comment?" I said, "Well, yeah, you made one about 3 years ago. You'd like to make another one now?" He said, "Yes, sir." And he explained to the class what all that meant. Well, I got to, over the years, one of the things that has really stuck in my mind was that God told the children of Israel almost that same thing. What you believe about God is going to affect every other belief you have in your life. So let's go to Deuteronomy. Let's hear Deuteronomy. Now you're gonna see that these are almost all the same, but not quite, but almost. Let's go to Deuteronomy.
"Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might."
Now, I started there because it's interesting. God is talking to an entire nation, right? So even though we are individuals in this nation, we need to know God still deals with this nation. Whoever wins this election is not going to rule this country. They may be the leader in the political party, but there's something going on in this country greater than the political system. But a nation is made up of individuals. The nation is not going to love the Lord their God. We as individuals are going to love the Lord our God. Well, I studied that for a while, and I thought that was a very interesting part. And then, when Jesus was confronted with it, I thought that was even more interesting. So let's go and let's listen to Luke chapter 10.
"Now an expert in the religious law stood up to test Jesus, saying, 'Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?' He said to him, 'What is written in the law? How do you understand it?' The expert answered, 'Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself.' Jesus said to him, 'You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live.'"
Now, isn't that interesting? He comes to Jesus, to tempt Jesus, and Jesus asked him the question, and he answered pretty well, didn't he? Well, let's listen to Matthew chapter 22. We'll come back to you. Let's go to Mark chapter 12. 28 through 34.
"Now one of the experts in the law came and heard them debating. When he saw Jesus answer them well, he asked him, 'Which commandment is the most important of all?' Jesus answered, 'The most important is, listen, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.'"
Well,
the expert in the law said to him, "That is true, teacher. You are right to say that he is one, and there is no one else beside him, and to love him with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. More important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices."
Isn't that interesting? Okay, now you ready? You got your now?
Yeah.
Right, let's go.
Luke. Matthew.
You have Matthew 22, 37 through 39.
37 through 39. Okay. "And he said to them, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself.
And it is interesting. One young man comes to him and asks him about eternal life. Okay? Same commandment. The question I raised to myself was, can I rephrase these verses? You know I don't read right. Listen to my reading of it. You shall love the Lord. Okay? Your God. One God. Hear this, Israel. There is one God. You shall love Him with all. And He could have stopped right there, couldn't He? Of course, somebody's going to raise the question, well, now what is my all? So He goes on to elaborate a little bit. All your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, all. And then, wasn't it interesting that not only did Jesus put this in, but the lawyer put it in. Because there are places, numerous places in the Old Testament, where when they're talking about thou shalt and thou shalt not, one of the thou shalts is thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself. And so this man of the law inserted that in there also. Of course, you remember one of those young men testing him, it said, went on to ask him, well, okay, who is my neighbor? You remember Jesus went through that whole story of this Samaritan who was going down the road, and he saw this Jewish fellow laying over there all beat up, and he helped him, paid for his room, said I'll take care of anything left, I'll pay for it when I come back. I think that illustration is trying to say to us, your neighbor is anybody in need. It bothers me a little bit that we have allowed the social media to push us into seeing that the needs of people is clothing and food and shelter and finances and these kind of things. The greatest need that we face in this world, as it has always been, is that they need the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior.
Amen.
That's your neighbor. That's your neighbor. It's people who need the Lord Jesus Christ. They're the ones we're supposed to love. And they're the ones, when I was growing up, maybe you didn't grow up this way, they said to me, you can't fool around with these people. Don't associate with them. They'll drag you down. Do you remember? Now, maybe you didn't. I'm just dumb enough to tell you. I grew up that way. Cut off from those people. But the Lord has a funny way to work with you. I loved baseball. In fact, I loved any kind of sport. And I lived out in the country. We had a little country playground out there. And the people who came to that playground were not my people. The people who came to that playground were Baptists and Jewish. Can you believe this? The Jewish guys came out there to play softball. Well, if I heard a ball hit, I didn't care who was at the other end of it, I'm going over to find out about this ball. Because I just lived right across from the park. So I'd go over there to play. And when I would say something about that at church, I'd say, you can't be fooling around those Baptists. Mm-hmm. They'd be having you go to the movies and having you dancing, and you certainly need to stay away from no Jews. What are you doing to play with the Jews? Well, they play with the same kind of ball and bat we do. They run the same bases we do. And so I go out there and play with them. Who is my neighbor? Your neighbor is that guy that needs the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Doesn't have to be the guy that's laying out there in the ditch. It can be somebody sitting up in a very wealthy place. High-powered place. The up and out need the Lord, just like the down and out need the Lord. Yes, sir.
Look at the disciples. I mean, they came from all different backgrounds and things like that, and that's what we started out with.
Yeah, but they told him not to fool this man Jesus. You know, don't associate with him. And the Jewish people, to this day, will not associate with you very much. Does that mean we should not associate with them? Funny thing was, I was just a teenager. I was about 16. And one of the boys that was playing with those Jewish guys also played with me in high school ball. And I got him to come to church one time. But at least he saw another side of his world. I wish I could tell you I could have won him to the Lord Jesus, but as far as I know, he never changed. But that didn't mean I shouldn't associate with him. So, David?
Talk up now. In the Kalenjin dialect, which was the place my folks worked among, they were actually the Kichigmi tribe, but there's a whole series of tribes that are included in the Kalenjin language, used the Kalenjin language with some variations. But the greeting in that language is Puchumagin, which means, do you love yourself? And the answer is yes, and how about you? Mm-hmm. So if we love ourselves, then we ought to love others in the same way.
But see, you're getting the end of my thing in the first episode. Go ahead.
We're mentioning Jewish people, and we're mentioning the law of God, and it comes back really to Romans 3, 1 and 2. It says, what advantage then is it to being a Jew or to circumcision? Great in every respect, especially they were entrusted with the oracles of God. Mm-hmm. And I've looked up that word oracles, and it says authoritative proclamations. And what we've mm-hmm. just been read, we are reading authoritative proclamations. Mm-hmm. And we are not Jews, but we're the children of God. And Jesus said to go and spread the word in all the world. It's the same as the Old Testament. They were designated to spread abroad this authoritative proclamation that we've just been reading about. And that's up to us now, because we are now children of
God. Mm-hmm. Thank you. So you heard my reading. Yes, sir.
Quick question. This word Lord, in the interpretation, is it interpreting Elohim?
No, Yahweh.
Is it? Okay.
That's why I'm breaking it up a little bit. Love the Lord, your God. Now, the word is actually Elohim, but when he put the God in there, he put Yahweh in there. Now, my question was this now. Is there a question in your life as to what is your God or who is your God? See, the children of Israel had this problem all the way through. Dr. Hennigan says this a lot of times, that we make God our God the way we want him to be like us, which is backwards. Rather than us trying to make him be like us ought to be like him. That makes sense. Not good English, but it works. When I find myself trying to get God to be like me, I'm in a problem. And it's difficult for me to get out of that problem and go to him and say, wait a minute, I've got this thing backwards. You don't just need my help, I really need your help. There are a lot of things that can be your God. Would I shock you to tell you can be your own God? I believe I've met some people like that. It's not fun to be around them, but you need to take time to share what you know about God so that they will understand that there is somebody greater than them. And you and I can put a lot of things, the children of Israel put a lot of things ahead of God. You see, he said, love the Lord, love your God. Oh, hear, O Israel, there is one God. You ever wonder, who do these other people worship? Who do the Presbyterians worship? Who do the Lutherans worship? Who do the Catholics worship? Who do the Islamic people worship?
That's a good question.
Who do the Jews worship? Are you following me? Now, the problem is not with God. The problem is with our perception of God. And whatever it is that rules your life is your God. That makes sense? And that's why Jesus is trying to say to them, simply because I am here doesn't mean that you don't love the Lord your God. You want eternal life? You want to live forever? Then you need to serve the one who is forever. That's your God. There are a lot of things in this world today that rule people's lives. Sometimes it's just that they want to be who they are, and they want you to accept them as they are, and they're always right. They can't be wrong, because if they're wrong, that would mess up the whole thing. So what rules your life every day? Jesus decides, let's go back here and see what our forefathers said. Said, do you love the Lord your God with all? I have to admit to you, there have been times in my life when I had a little closet. Mind you, saints ain't that way, but I had things in there that ought not have been in there. And the wonderful thing is that God's Holy Spirit will check you. But that ain't easy. Those checks are tough. But he sees you as the neighbor. He comes to help you. His helping you sometimes is tough. Sometimes he has to get tough with me just to get my attention. How many times have you prayed, why me, Lord? Nearly every time I come up with that, I know that there's something going on here that ain't right. So he said to us, love the Lord your God with all of your heart. Now, heart has changed over the years, hasn't it? Do you still marvel? I just can't imagine that they can take your heart out and lay it down on the table and piddle around with it and sew it up and stick it back in there and say, I ain't going to live. Well, of course. Our grandparents would have never believed that you could take a heart out of a person, put it back in them and tell them, go ahead and live. But heart has not always been as central to our lives as it is today. Of course, nowadays, you know, you go in the hospital, have a great, what I would call, major surgery, and a couple of days later, they got you on your feet, walking out, going home.
And they're
Isn't that amazing? And we just take it for granted. But in those early days, that wasn't the case. In fact, it hasn't been very many years ago that probably you and I can remember people who when they start having heart trouble, we start preparing their funerals. I mean, it's all over. There are a few people in this world still walking around with an artificial heart in there. I think there's still two or three of them that's still testing that thing out. But your heart, for us at least, in the early days, they talked about your emotions. Another part of it is interesting to me too. From the heart, the mouth speaks. When you know about somebody's heart, listen to them. Listen to them talk. What is it that they're talking about? What is it that really gets you stirred up? What grabs your heart's attention? We're old enough now, we forgot how it was when we fell in love. But I used to marvel at campus life. Watch these youngsters come from all over the place, you know, and they get together like this, and the next thing you know, nobody else counts. I used to tell my basketball coach and my baseball coach, I said, let me tell you what this boy's problem is. What's his problem? I said, he's in love. What? Yeah. You know why he can play better when he's away than he can when he's here? Because she's not here when you're away. And they come here and they can't play because that's their eyes not on the basket. Their mind's not on the game. It changes. You watch them walk across campus. They'll almost stumble over nothing. You can watch their grades. Things happen. You know. What is it that this takes you away from everything else? When you fell in love, that's what happened. There are a lot of other beautiful girls around here. They don't see them. They're not there. By the way, go home and look at your wife again today. Go home and look at your family again today and say, there's where my heart is. I still have a little bit of problem with my wife over the death of our son. She thinks it was yesterday. She'll tell you right now, not a day goes by. But that something triggers that memory. I'm not sure this thing in here is what they were talking about. What the Lord was talking about, you don't take out and lay it on the table. You live it out every moment of every day. It's something that caught your attention. It's something that made all the rest of the world oblivious. That's how he wants you to love him. If we could love the Lord like we loved that girl we fell in love with, it'd change your life. Just like that love changed your life. And that's what the Lord's trying to say to these people. Love him with your all. What did you say when you married her? Forsaking all others, keep myself unto thee, so long as we both shall live. That's still good today, isn't it? I don't have to remind my wife of that. She knows. She knows. David?
I haven't been able to get away from this thought that you asked a while ago about the heart. What is the heart? In the Old Testament, it talks about don't partake of the blood, because in the blood is where there is life. The center of that life, of that being. So I think all of us, when we were very young, viewed the heart as being the center of ourselves, because because of that very thing. In the blood is the life. And, so that's centering is what I view it as.
Yeah. What is the central part of your life? What really gets you going every day? What is it that just dominates your thought life? What is at the center of your life? The center of your being? For the Christian, it has to be Jesus. Has to be Jesus. I am what I am by the grace of God, not because of my accomplishments. And I love Him because He's God. I don't love Him because I want to go to heaven. I don't love Him because I fear hell. I love Him because He's God. Now, I don't know if you know what happened to you when you fell in love or not. If you think you did, you're crazy. But something turned upside down in your world. What happened to us with the Lord Jesus? He turned my life upside down. I could not believe the changes He made in my life. See, I wanted to be a professional ball player. But I knew when I was young, I was called to the ministry. But there was a guy by the name of Preacher Rowe who used to play baseball. And I said to the Lord, well, if Preacher Rowe can do it, surely I can do it. And the Lord said, no, you can't. And we argued, and he won. And I have the scars today to prove it. Because my heart and life was divided, and you cannot have a divided heart with the Lord Jesus. He wants it all. Well, he said, what about all of your soul? Now, this is one of the places that separates us from the rest of the world. You'd be amazed how many people out there don't believe you have a soul. I mean, nobody's found it. They can't operate on it. They can't give you medicine for it. Therefore, it doesn't exist. And that's a problem with many of our neighbors today, is they don't realize that they're made up of a soul. Well, what are they talking about here with the soul? The soul was really the spiritual being. And you see, you and I grew up being taught by people who really did not believe in a spiritual being. They believe you're fleshly. They believe you're earthly. They believe you're mental. But not spiritual. In fact, our Renaissance people took the great Greek thinkers from back in those early days and changed their thinking around so that you would believe that it is your intellect. It is your reasoning power that sets you apart. And they got this little thing going, and they said to them, well, what you do is you arrive at truth by the five senses. And when you get a consensus of the five senses, you come up with truth. Now, when you start talking about spiritual truth, they'll tell you right now, you can't deal with that because it won't go in that hopper. It won't fit any of the five senses. Therefore, you can only deal with the intellect. There can't be anything spiritual about you. And I'm going to tell you something. You really ought to lay that aside and go back and read Plato and Aristotle and Socrates with a spiritual thought in your mind. Because they believed in the spiritual man. But our Renaissance man changed them. And they got more interested in what their philosophy was than what their spiritual life was. And there's a lot of people in this world around you today who are more philosophers than they are spiritual people. I worry about too many of our preachers nowadays. too many of our preachers are preaching philosophy rather than spirituality. They're trying to teach us about how to be good in this world rather than how to be spiritual in this world. Being good and spiritual are not the same. Because we talk about good almost as though it is spiritual. Only what we think is good is give your neighbor a ride. Take food to your neighbor. Help your neighbor with his bills. Help the drunk out of the gutter.
Social gospel.
Absolutely. When what we really need to be doing is looking at their spiritual life, because the Lord said you need your whole spiritual being to be focused on God. That's the center of your spiritual life. Is the Lord God Almighty. We're talking about the God who is the creator of the universe. We're talking about the God who dared to walk down here and come through the womb of a woman and be a birth of a child and walk this earth with us so that we would know what it meant to love the Lord your God. That's what he's talking about. Love him with all of your soul. What is your relationship with God, the Lord God Almighty? Not these made up gods. Did not the children of Israel go through God after God after God? Remember, you go all the way through them. They have mountains where they built things for gods, and temples they built things for God. People are still doing that today. We are still building things to take God's place in our life. And he said, your whole spiritual being ought to be focused on him. Not on your intellect. Yes, sir.
I think one day I asked God to reveal things that are true and things that are truth in it, and I was able to separate the two because he showed me through spirit that there are things in the world that are true, but they're all temporary. Mm-hmm. When he stood in front of Pontius Pilate, he told him, he says, you wouldn't know the truth if you stand in front of him. At the same time, he says, you don't know me, and I am the truth. Mm. The truth is eternal.
Yeah.
What is true is all temporary. And that's the difference that I made. Christ is eternal. All these things that happen in this world may be true, but they will have an end to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
God, there is no end.
No. Yeah, truth is a funny thing. We determine what we want to accept as truth and not truth. See, that's where I have my problem with all these philosophers. People who are teaching about philosophy. They think you arrive at truth by your own system. Can you taste it, touch it, see it, feel it? You know. We all agree on it, then it's truth. There are a lot of things talked about as truth today that won't meet God's standard of truth. He said, when he walked among us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you want to come to the Father, you'll have to do it through me. So do you love him with your entire soul? Do you have a spiritual being? Now my philosopher friends, always they would say to me, well, you're trying to make man a dichotomy. You're trying to make him a spiritual and a non-spiritual. And I said to them, I'm not doing that. God did that. He's the one that made me as I am. And simply because you have learned one way and I have learned another way doesn't make you right and me wrong. I said, the interesting thing about it is if you're right and I'm wrong, I'm okay. But if I'm right and you're wrong, you got a problem. because you're going to face this God one of these days. And that's what he's going to ask you. Who was the Lord your God? So I try my best every day to make sure that I've got my right relationship with God. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. You might not want to admit this, but I will. It is sometimes difficult to put myself in the proper relationship with God for today. Because I get too busy thinking about too many other things. That's one of the things I like about this Friday morning thing. Yes, sir?
I have a question. When you're, I don't know how to put this exactly, so y'all bear with me. But if you help somebody, don't you think that's God telling you that you need to do that?
I wish I could answer that with a simple yes, but I'm going to have to say to you, not always. I think sometimes people do things for other people for ulterior motives. And I have to tell you, if we aren't careful, we'll do it as though it is spiritual when really what we want is an acclimate to ourselves. And I have to watch myself very carefully there. Let me give you a crazy illustration. Why do you give money to your church? See, I don't give money to my church. I give money to the Lord, and his servants have to use it the way they see it's best. But there are a lot of people who give money to the Lord because they want the Lord in return to give them more money back. And I think sometimes there are people who have nothing to do with Christianity who are good people by nature when it comes to the social world. I know drunks, alcoholics, that would give you the shirt off their back. They would give you the last penny. They won't give you the last drink, but they'll give you the last penny. I mean, they would just do anything in the world for you. And that's why I'm saying that when you get to the soul of the matter, it is, why are you doing this? And the Lord says, do it in my name. Do it so that you can point somebody to him. Not to my church, not to my family, not to me, but to him. And that's one of the reasons why I keep saying to you, I'm not serving him because I want to go to heaven. I'm serving him because I want to be a part of him. Amen. Here and hereafter. And so with his whole soul, yes, Tom?
I think what Charlie said, I was going to say, you know, we can't divorce ourselves from helping others and say we're just worshiping God and we're following God and not help others. It's a dualism there.
Yes.
And if, you know, I can't express it, but, you know, if we love God, we need to be helping others and things, our brothers and sisters.
Oh, yeah. That's that last second.
Yeah.
Second is just like it. Second is just as important. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I've had times when the Lord would say to me, you need to go help somebody. And tell you by name. And when I was a pastor, I've had people call me at all hours of the day and night and say, Pastor, what's wrong? What do you mean, what's wrong? Well, the Lord's put you on my heart. I had no idea. I said, I don't know why, but keep praying. Evidently something about to happen. You know. And it's amazing how, have you ever been driving down the road and for some reason the Lord just takes you another direction? Or you've been going to go do something and the Lord checks you? Boy, listen, pay attention to those checks. pay attention when that little voice comes and says, whoop, whoop, hold it, look out. I've heard illustrations about and I've faced them myself, but they were different. Where as a pastor, you know, you get involved in a lot of things, and sometimes somebody out there has an ulterior motive in their mind as to why they're doing what they're doing, and they call for you to come at all hours of the day and night. And when you go, you realize very quickly, whoa, hold on here, this is not right. And the Lord will check you. The interesting thing about it is, the Lord is always with you. If you just will recognize He is with you, if you have that kind of relationship with Him. You know, I'm like Dr. Hendicke. I don't worry about running out here and running into all these girls, beautiful women. Whatever they are out there, I think. Why? Well, because I got another love that blinds me to some things. One of the things you want to be careful about your blind love is don't let anybody operate on your sight. Keep your focus where it belongs. Love Him with all, which includes your soul. Where am I on my time? How am I doing on my time?
You've got about 8 minutes.
I've got about 8 minutes. Well, I'm not going to get through, but anyway.
Toby,
sir.
Help me with this thought. Which do you enjoy most? Condemning evil or rejoicing with good?
Yeah.
Okay. You ever known someone that was... they enjoyed condemning evil more than they did rejoicing with the good?
Oh, yeah, a lot of preachers that way.
I got
of course, not very many nowadays. Most of them nowadays aren't condemning the evil. But I'm here to tell you right now, folks, you better take great care at how you handle evil. This world is still full of evil. And there are some evil people out there. I used to say to them, well, don't worry about it. If the devil ever dies, I got a lot of people to take his place without missing a beat. They're out there. There are some wicked people. And the sad thing about it is, some of them are doing it in the name of God. See, that's what bothers me about these people who are, whatever religion they are, who have no problem at all just destroying your life. Yes, sir.
You know what's dangerous about that? Doctor, you know, as we might say, beware, you know, devil, because he appears as an angel of light to deceive the elect. There's a lot of so-called preachers out there and things like that who use the word of God, and God said, my word will not return void. And the sad thing is, you know, they do it for monetary gain, do personal gain, power, and everything like that. But then again, there comes a day, you know, when they go before the judgment seat of Christ, and then, you know, didn't I do this? Depart from me, I never knew you. You know, hey, you know, that's a scary place to be right there.
I think one of the wonderful things about the Lord's word is whoever is using it, God's gonna bring good out of it.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. God's good about doing that. Well, I got a couple more I need to deal with, but I have to do it at a different time. I do want to mention your strength. Because every time I get to think about Bible strength, I always think about Samson. There was two different kinds of strength in Samson. Samson wasn't just a powerful man. Samson allowed God sometimes to exercise His strength through Samson. I just want to tell you, God will give you a strength nobody else understands. The world won't understand it. They'll ask you, how do you go through such a thing? Well, because the Lord is with us. But is it the Lord is my strength? Yeah. What is it that gives you your strength for the day? What keeps you going through the day, Tom?
I think a good thought on Samson is he was blind to the will of God long before he was blinded.
Yeah, that's true. And so, do you allow the Lord to live out his life through you? Do you have that kind of strength? Are you strong enough to stand up against the enemy? You know, the Lord's strength is immeasurable. It's amazing, the power of God. I mean, he runs a universe. I mean, he takes care of the little babies. He watches the birds. He watches the fish. And it doesn't seem to be any kind of a problem to him at all. He has the strength to do it all. But for you and me, his greatest strength is he can change your life and mine. He can take a bad old guy and make him a good guy. He can take a poor lost sinner, lift him from the miry clay, and set him free. You're talking about strength? Now my question for you is, do you allow the Lord to live out his life through you so that people will believe he is indeed the God of this universe? Father, thank you for our day. Thank you for your love and your grace, your strength, your power, your love, and your mercy. Take us out of here today to make sure we point a world to the God we serve, because you are the Lord God Almighty, creator of this universe, the resurrected Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you. Have a good day.